Notice up there, some of the pictures you got to kind of try and remember. There's a family of, if you notice, my family's up there with the, we always hung tinsel on the tree. That's not mine, but you'll see me when I was really young and thin and everything else like that. But we've been asked, we put these up there. These are all pictures of Christmas past from people in the congregation that were able to turn them in. And they're bringing some of the traditions that we have, too. So we're working with different themes today, and we're going to kind of stall just for a second as people kind of trickle in a little bit, but we're going to open in prayer. And you've got to try and figure out who all the people are and who all the kids are up there, because many of them are already married with kids of their own. And so that makes it fun to try and remember them all up there, so... Let's open in prayer together and just ask God's grace on the day. Thank you, Jesus, for the beauty of snow. Thank you, Jesus, that it cleans the air and yet makes everything look beautiful. Thank you, Jesus, that you protected us while we were traveling here. And I pray, Lord, that everyone that has come out to church to be a part of our service today would make it home safely also. I just pray your grace over the whole day. Thank you for each one of our children that have been able to make it today. I ask that you'd bless them and help them as they sing, as they practice their recitation, as they do the different things we have to do. I pray a blessing over all the adults we'll be interviewing, and I ask that our praise would bring honor, blessing, and glory to you today, Jesus. Lord, we surrender this day into your hands, and we ask as people still be traveling and have to get from place to place, that your hand of mercy and grace would cover them. Help us all to go at it very slowly and very carefully, and protect us, Lord, and be with each one of us. This is your day, Lord, and we're going to celebrate it, and we're going to give glory to you, and we're going to thank you for each day that you give us. And so bless this day, and we ask that you would be here, and we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God's people said, amen. Amen. We join in the opening song.
O come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, for the King of angels, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, all ye light hosts of heaven above. Glory to God, all glory in the high. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet thee for this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appear. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Well, guys, it's Christmas 2013. today. I suppose you guys know about all there is to know about Christmas, huh?
Yeah, we do. Sometimes you don't think there is that much to learn.
Yeah, this is boring. What else do we need to know?
Well, he's a shepherd. I don't think the wise
man. Did we get out?
Well, yeah, it's a great start. I suppose we should mention that Herod killed all the babies at Bethlehem because he was so afraid that Jesus' birth was going to affect him from being the king that he was. It really doesn't quite belong in Christmas time, though, because it didn't happen until much later, weeks, maybe even months later, so.
Well, Pastor, are we missing anything else?
Yeah, well, we can talk about what we each want for Christmas, like our presents and our wish lists.
Yeah.
You guys like that one, I see. Well, that's not such a bad idea, actually. Presents, cookies, trees, lights, and a lot of other things seem to be what people talk about at Christmas time. TV, movies, and all that stuff talk about anything and everything except what Christmas really means.
Yeah, we know our parents remind us of that too. But we know that.
I think I have an idea though. Let's talk about what Christmas means to some of us, and then I'm going to give you an assignment. Not exactly. Well, here, I'll show you, and then you'll be able to see what it is. We're going to find out what Christmas really means to a lot of people in our church. We're going to ask them, what was it like when they were younger? And then we're going to ask them and say, what was it like when they were younger? And let's see what we learned from some real live people. And then we can come back and talk about it. All right, let's practice this, okay? You pretend that you're going to interview me. Go ahead.
Sure, but I'm not very good at it, Pastor. What do you want me to say or ask?
Well, just say, I have an assignment for confirmation class, and I have to interview some of the older people with a couple of questions.
Uh-oh.
Where's the laugh line in that one? The first question I want you to ask them is, what was Christmas like when they were young? You know, when they were a kid? I want you to ask them what was special to them, what they remember, and then just kind of listen and see what they say. How does that sound?
Okay, I guess I can do that. But what's the second question?
Well, the second question is, what does it mean to them now, and what makes it special, and when did it really become special for them? You know, that kind of thing.
Okay, I think I got it.
Hi, Pastor. Can I interview for our assignment?
Sure. What would you like to know?
What was Christmas like when you were younger, and what do you remember the most?
Well, let's see here. There we go. Well, I'm sorry about that. I think a lot of it for me back then was toys. Things like that, because I do remember those. In fact, I'm so old, I remember my first plastic toy. It was a little horse and buggy, and you wound the horse up, and the horse's legs would wiggle back and forth, and the whole thing would go rolling forward. You know, back then, most of our toys were made out of steel, or they were made out of wood, and so it's kind of interesting. But you know, something else I remember. I remember when we were in grade school, we had to memorize the Christmas story. And that was always really special for me. And we had to learn the songs, and we would have to say that. We have to learn to say it in unison. That was very special for me, too.
And Bruce, I want you to speak nice and loud, okay? And I want everybody to say the words together. And so I'm going to start it out and carry on, okay? And it
came to pass in those days that there went
from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this tax was in the first day when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city.
Wait a minute. I can't see you. Why didn't you scoot up here? You know, those tall people. And Joseph
also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse's wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Go down it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go down it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds kept their watching o'er silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go
certainly not the guy in the red suit. I want to really know what the Bible has to say about Christmas.
Is that why you always show us that red thread symbolizing Satan trying to kill Jesus in Revelation?
That's right. Revelation 12, right. I remember, you got to remember that Christmas was very dangerous for Jesus. And Satan would have liked to kill him if he could. And that's a really good picture we get out of Revelation. We realize that Christmas changed everything for all of us.
What else?
Well, I'd say being with my kids and my grandkids is really important. It means a lot to me today. I want to make sure that my kids and my grandkids remember that Christmas is about Jesus coming to earth to save them from their sins. Not about trees and lights and food and presents and all the other stuff. Those mean nothing compared to knowing that I'll be able to celebrate Christmas with each and every one of them in heaven. I just really want them all to trust in Jesus as their Savior and their Savior.
Are you okay, Pastor? Are you worried about your kids?
Well, yeah, sometimes. They're on my heart. I love them very much. There's a lot of things in the world that pull them away and distract them. I pray Well, you kids think you can handle that assignment okay?
Sure. It shouldn't be too hard. It should be fun.
Good.
Maybe.
Maybe, yes. Good. I'll see you guys next week then. We'll give that a shot, all right?
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Hello, Father. Can I interview for our class confirmation class?
Yes.
What was Christmas like when you were younger, and what do you remember the most?
Christmas was like being on tour, because it meant going to Grandma Cantrell's house, then to Uncle Harold's, and then to great-grandma Gesme's, and then to Grandma Wilkie's, and then to Dad's house. And so to me, it was one family visit after another, wearing the same. Only time I ever wore that clothes, it was that dress-up clothes. That was the only time I had to wear it.
And second, what is Christmas like for you now?
Well, the one place I never did go during the tour was to church. And it wasn't until I was 18 years old before I first celebrated Christmas in a church, and what a joy it was to understand the true meaning of the season, and that God's promise fulfilled in Christ being born. And it has ever since then been a wonderful experience of celebrating the birth of Christ.
Thank you. I'll see you later.
In our family, we read a lot of books. And at the start of the Advent season, I usually go around and try and pull all the Christmas ones off the shelves and put them on tables so that they're easily accessible for everybody to read. And the pile of books is getting bigger every year, because we give one, a book to every kid for their birthday and for Christmas. And so I brought some. Can you hold that? This was the first book I was so excited about. It's a little ratty because Elise and Lauren were about 2 and 0. And it's just this little pop-up book and kind of goes through the manger story. Kind of nice, but everything's kind of falling apart. But I like this book because it brings back a lot of memories. Here's another pop-up book, much more modern, but pretty as well, about snowflakes. And how snowflakes are all individual, just like we are. And I just love the way the artist, can everyone see this? It's because this is so pretty. Put this together. Woo! Like that one. Then we have, the real 12 Days of Christmas explains the song. I never knew about the song until this book. And then All Is Well, which was a Christmas program that we did here. Love that one. Candy Maker's Gift. And who couldn't have Christmas without the Grinch? And how his heart grew so big from being so small. And Charlie Brown. And somewhere on here is the song.
I
so I can read the story and have the songs play. Love that one. I don't know, there's a lot of other ones in here. Oh, Birthday of the King. We do have some like religious ones too. Max Lucado, Crippled Lamb, and it goes on. But we do a family devotion. And I found this about a decade ago. It's a set of three stories, actually. I could only find this one, though. I think I gave the other two away, which is kind of nice, actually, so that some other family could use it as the Advent devotion. But it takes you back to the time when Jesus was born. And I really appreciated that because these books are all nice, and they give you a nice, warm, fuzzy feeling. This one tells you pretty much how it is. And the Romans were not nice people. And so it really helps you understand the time that Jesus was born. And so as the story goes through, and it's kind of a, I don't know, tragic story, but in the end it's all good because Jesus does come. And but there's always a little message for every day. So I just want to read this little part. It says, Bartholomew grew up believing that the Messiah would come as a great warrior to kill all his enemies. He believed this because so many people around him believed it and kept saying it. But as Nathan pointed out, the truth isn't always in what the majority of the people believe. It's in the Word of God. Many people today believe that following God means following a set of rules. Don't do this, don't do that, and then you'll go to heaven. But God's Word tells us that what we do is not as important as why we do it. If we are selfish, if we do the things we do so we can get more for ourselves, then we are being sinful. But if we follow God's example and try to live in unselfish love, then we are already following God's law. Jesus came to earth partly to demonstrate such love for us. He didn't need to follow a bunch of laws in order to be godly. He just needed to care more about others than about himself. Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." Matthew 22:37-40. It may not be what most of the world believes, but it's the most important thing that Jesus taught us. And it's the most important thing we can ever know.
Hello, Mrs. Axman. How are you doing today?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I have to ask you two questions for our confirmation class. First of all, what was Christmas like for you when you were younger? And what do you remember most?
Well, when I was a little girl, we didn't put Jesus too much into Christmas. We would go to church, but otherwise it was all about Santa Claus and toys and, you know, what we were going to get. And there was even a radio show on, and we had a TV. Don't think I'm that old, but we did have a TV. But there was a radio show that came on every day from 6 o'clock till 6:15, and it was called Billy the Brownie. And Billy the Brownie was Santa's helper, and every night he'd read letters from boys and girls and what they wanted. But then he'd say, "Oh, I could see that Sandy was a good girl today, and her brother Tony was not very good." And we'd sit there, and you know, it was just he'd be saying any names, but we thought they were our names.
Thank you. And second, what is Christmas like for you now?
Well, Christmas is entirely different now. I have a family and I have grandchildren. And like Pastor Bruce, it's really important for me to know that someday they're going to go to heaven. And so I have put Christ into our Christmas. We sing, we do Christmas carols. I have a manger, and the baby Jesus is not in the manger and until somebody puts him in there. And for the last 47 years, it's either been one of the kids or somebody that's been born new into the family or someone that's married into the family. And this year, Evian we'll be putting baby Jesus in the manger.
Thank you very much.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing. He rules the world with truth and grace, and the nations prove the glories of his righteousness, wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
Over the years, we've had a number of traditions that have started, and some of them that have kept going throughout the years. When the boys were very young, we had friends who lived up north, and we would go into the forest and cut down a tree, a natural tree, not one that was groomed every year. And so you usually had to cut down about a 15-foot tree to get 7 good feet out of it. But we did that for a number of years and really enjoyed that tradition. And the other tradition that has to do with the Christmas tree itself is that over the years we've given each of the kids ornaments, and of course they've accumulated them from grandparents or aunts and uncles or cousins, and each one of them has their own box of their ornaments. And because with having 5 kids, we've accumulated a number of ornaments over the years, and so we see their ornaments go up every year, and each year they put up the ornaments that they want. And try not to duplicate each other, because sometimes we'll have a particular ornament that more than one child gets. But that's one of the traditions that we do throughout the pre-Christmas time.
Along the vein of the ornaments, Bruce came up with a really neat idea this year, and I don't know if he was able to be successful at finding it yet. But because of the passing of our dad, he thought it would be really neat to honor him with giving each of the kids a bicycle ornament, if we could find something to that effect. And he thought for his kids, but I thought that would be a neat idea for our family as well. One of the other things that our family does regularly is an Advent calendar board kind of thing. I was with a group of friends. We were trying to make all these little ornaments with cloth and all this kind of stuff, and we just, you know, start the project, never finish it. And it's supposed to be a Christmas tree. It ended up being a little bulletin board. And we got very creative and made all the ornaments out of various things that we found at Ben Franklin, which was a lot easier than trying to do them all by hand. This Advent calendar starts with creation and goes all the way through scriptures to the birth of Christ. And that's what I found really special to do with my kids, because we would talk about the stories each day that they got to put up for the ornament. And so Sarah's going to share a little bit about that part.
Okay. Well, we all got to put one up each and every day, like my mom just said. And to make it fun for the kids, we would reverse the order. So we'd have the oldest go like the first year, and Scott would start with the creation and then go down the line. And then the next year we would have Christy start, and so Christy would start creation. Well, I'm the middle child, so guess who never, ever, ever got to put up a different ornament every single year? That was me. So I constantly got to put up the same ornaments. I was very upset about it. One year I think I cried about it, but they became my favorite ones because I got to put them up every year. So that's my fun memory with it.
One of the memories that I have that means a lot to me is we would go up to my uncle's house for Christmas Eve. And as long as I remember, we would always have shrimp and tenderloin. And it was one of those fun times where we'd always go up, and I'd always look forward to it because it was my favorite meal of the year. And I'd eat a ton. And it was, and then we'd wake up Christmas morning to mom making us brunch. And so we'd always wake up around 9, 10 o'clock and just have the smell of French toast and eggs filling the air. And that was always a great memory to wake up to.
Every year we would have like two nativity scenes. One was a precious moment glass one that we weren't allowed to play with. And then we had this one, and this is like rubber. And we would always play with this one and do a lot of stuff with them and lose them and find them the next year. So that was just always fun.
Hi, Mr. Pett. May I interview you?
Sure.
We're asking two questions and have to interview people.
Okay.
First question is, what was Christmas like for you when you were a kid, and what do you remember most?
Well, as a kid, my memory must be pretty similar to what you're doing right now, and that's participating in telling the Christmas story. And back in the olden days, we didn't have this kind of microphone, and one of my fondest memories was we would practice every Saturday for about 3 Saturdays in a row to get ready for the Christmas program. And we'd get a little slip of paper, not a square, just a long strip of paper that had your memory verse on it that you had to participate in the program. And for unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And since we didn't have a mic, we would practice it from every room in the house and get as far away and close the door. Can you hear me? No, we can't hear you. Louder, because we didn't have a mic. And so that was one of the memories that I had growing up. My sisters would send me outside and far away. I didn't come home for a week. No, that part I made up. But even though the programs change, and you see some of the programs changing on the screen up there as the plays got a little bit more elaborate, the message has always been the same, and that Christ came for me.
Second question is, what is Christmas like for you now?
It's a little different. I don't have to talk as loud because I get a mic. But today, like I said, the message is always the same. And now I'm seeing my children have children and the traditions that they're carrying on and wanting to make sure that their children know the precious story of Jesus.
Okay, thanks.
Advent is a time of year where we really try and prepare for Christmas Day and excitedly get ready for the celebration of the birth of Jesus. Going through our program here, I think we've learned that we've got a lot more in common with the Fennings than I think we believed that we knew before, a lot of very similar traditions. Over the years, our family's habits have changed as well, just like the Fennings have. Yes, it's Daddy talking. Going to Christian schools, prayer time and devotion time in the car, singing for school and other similar activities help keep Jesus in our lives every day. But probably the most consistent things that we've held to are the placement of our Advent wreath and candles, cutting down and decorating our tree. I don't know that we've ever hunted our tree the same way that the Fennings have, but we do go with the Soderbecks and cut down our tree over these past few years especially. Putting the angel on top of the tree, that's always exciting because everybody thinks they didn't do it last year when, in fact, we have to go back to the videotape and look and see who did put the angel on top of the tree. And then, I guess, doing final preparations for getting ready for Christmas Day by celebrating on Christmas Eve and coming to church and being with friends and family, especially for our candlelight services. So those are some of our traditions that we followed for many years.
Ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us. This Jesus, he's
the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. From God our heavenly Father, the blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds the tidings of the same, how that in Bethlehem was born the Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. He has come for us, this Jesus. He's the hope for all mankind. He has come for us, the Messiah, born to give us life. He is born to give us life.
Hello, Mr. Herringbook. Can I interview for my class confirmation class assignment?
No.
Okay. All right, first question is, what was Christmas like when you were younger, and what do you remember the most?
For me, when I was growing up, it was all about Santa Claus and presents and Christmas break for school and sledding and snowmobiling, kind of the season of snow. We went to church and midnight mass, and those are the memories I have growing up, but it didn't really touch home of what it really was.
Okay, and second, what is Christmas like for you now?
Now, well, I have a family now, and I remember a couple of years ago, we were trying to have children, and it took a while, and I remember praying just before Christmas, and just after, about maybe a week after, I got the good news from my wife that she was with a child, so it was the miracle of Christmas there, and then recently, it's more about, you know, going into the community, and I hear Happy Holidays, and I think to myself, no, it's Merry Christmas. It's about Christ, and it's not just about family. It's not just about my daughter and my wife and my mom and dad and brother. It's about Christ's family, and that it's our responsibility to spread the good news of Christ and the miracle that he came to save us. And so I think I finally got the message.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to start by saying that our family loves the Christmas season. I think we love everything about it. I even love shopping when it's crazy out there. I don't mind going on Black Friday. I went out yesterday and it was just as crazy. But we try to do several things as a family, and we've done these same things for years to really focus on the real meaning of Christmas. So the first thing we do as we prepare for the Christmas season is we pick an Advent devotional to do each night. And every year I say, what devotional do you want to do for Advent? And every year they say, Jotham's Journey, which is one of the three books in the series that Mary Bielow talked about. So we have done Jotham's Journey for years. So finally this year I thought, I know there's two other books in the series. Maybe I should get one of the other books. So this year we're doing Bartholomew's Passage. And every night they beg, please, Dad, read another chapter. And because it always ends with some sort of suspense or excitement, and they want to know what happens next. So they have to be patient and wait for the next night. Another thing that we do is we hang a stocking for every member of the family, and we have a variety of colored stockings. We have green and red and gold, but in the center we hang a white stocking, which is Jesus' stocking. And for us, it's a visual reminder that Jesus is the center of our celebration. It's the only reason that we celebrate Christmas, and we want our celebration to focus on him. And some years we've been better than others about this, but we encourage family members to think of a gift that they could give back to Jesus. It might be a special offering we want to give to a worthy cause or needy cause. It might be an active service or a ministry we want to do, but something in the coming year that we want to kind of give to Jesus. And then the final thing, which is probably John's and my favorite memory of Christmas, is that when we decorate and we set up our nativity, our family nativity, the manger is empty. And when the children are little, they all ask, "Where is baby Jesus?" And we say, "Well, baby Jesus hasn't been born yet. This is our time that we're waiting for baby Jesus." And so on Christmas morning, and sometimes the children have been known to get up as early as 4 a.m, we can hear them whispering in the hallway, but many children in the United States, I'm sure, are running downstairs or running to their family room, living room, wherever their tree is, to see what maybe Santa brought them or what gifts are under their tree. But our children have always run downstairs and to see if baby Jesus is in the manger, and they look forward to finding out whether Jesus has come. And so that is the real meaning of Christmas for our family.
My favorite part of Christmas is when Jesus was born.
The reason for the season is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The reason for the season is Jesus, Jesus. The reason for the season is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The reason for the season is Jesus, Jesus. The reason for the season is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The reason for the season is Jesus, Jesus.
Hello, Mrs. Alexander.
Hello.
How are you doing today?
Just fine.
Okay, I have to ask you two questions for our confirmation class assignment. First of all, what was Christmas like for you when you were younger, and what do you remember most about it?
Gosh, I grew up in a family with 5 kids, and we were all pretty loud, so I remember Christmas being loud, but my favorite present ever was an electric football game, where you put the football players on and they all went all over the place. That was my very favorite present ever. Then when I got into high school, my favorite was to go to Midnight Mass, and I sang in the choir, and I really liked that. And then when Mr. Alexander and I got married, our little girl, Jennifer, who's 36 now, her very first, she was 2 months old, and our pastor asked if she could be baptized on Christmas morning. And that was really, really special to us because they wanted a baby baptized on Christmas, and that was pretty fun.
Thank you. And second, what is Christmas like for you now?
Christmas is a lot quieter. I look at all the pictures that are up on the screen, and our kids were in most of those plays, and it was kind of crazy at our house, and then I always wanted to get them just the perfect present. So I always put more emphasis, I think, on the present and the gifts. And now I know that Jesus is our perfect present, and we don't have to worry about buying the perfect gift because we already have that.
Thank you very much.
So in the Senske family, I have 4 children, and now I have 4 grandchildren. But when we were about ready to open gifts for Christmas, kids were always anxious and chomping at the bit.
to get going, and then we would always sit down and read the Christmas story before we opened the gifts so that we would have a reminder of why we're really doing this. I don't know if they appreciated it that much then, but I think they probably do now. Now I have four grandchildren, and we started having the oldest grandchildren now read the Christmas story. This year, Sienna will be the one that will be reading to us the Christmas story, so we're excited about that. And this is what we would read. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Ready, guys? The cattle are lowing, the baby awaits. My little Lord Jesus, no crying he makes.
My lovely Lord Jesus, pour down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay, 'cause smile me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy hand. Fit us for
for heaven to live with thee there.
Now I wanted to see who we could get up here. And so here's my challenge to you. I'd like you to come up. If any of you were actually played baby Jesus, come on up. Did you really? Come on up. Come on up. You got to stand up here. Played baby Jesus. Good. How many of you girls or guys, who knows, how many of you have ever played Mary? Come on up. Get the Marys up here. Come on up, Marys. All my Marys. Good. And Mary played Mary. Good. That's good. Yes, it's all ages. How many of you ever got to play Joseph?
Me.
Well, wonderful. Any Josephs? Any other? There's another Joseph. Did you? Come on up. That's close enough. Joseph. All right. Now, here we're going to get a bunch, I hope. How about a shepherd or a sheep? Shepherd or sheep? Shepherd or sheep? Come on up. Mike, you got to bring your guitar. Shepherd or a sheep? Come on up. Shepherd or a sheep? All right. And now we might get some more yet. We got the angels. All right. Come on, all the angels. Come on up. Good. Get them up here. Got to get our angels up. All right. And we've got one more category we don't have in our story, but how about a wise man or a wise woman? Anyone play a wise man? Good. Would you guys stand? We're going to sing around the manger. You stay right there. We're going to sing around the manger. Come on in a little closer. Where is he? Just stand right where you are. We're going to sing Silent Night. Everybody remembering, hopefully, a good memory from the past when they played one of those roles. Here we go, Mark. Go ahead.
Silent night, holy night. All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven above.
Thank you so much for the gift of the fellowship of believers. But Jesus, we've learned and we know that without you there is no Christmas. Without the blessing of your birth in the manger, there's nothing to celebrate. But because of you and your birth in the manger, we have so much to celebrate. And you make each moment with family and friends that much more special. And so today, Jesus, we honor you. We bless you and we praise you. We thank you for coming to earth as a baby. We thank you for growing and dying on the cross for our sins. And then, Lord, we thank you for the resurrection of the dead that demonstrated all of your promises are true. And so, Lord, we celebrate this Christmas season. We celebrate the gift of your life. We celebrate the gift of the resurrection. And we celebrate our gift of life in you too, Lord Jesus. So bless all of us as we stand around this manger, as we spend this time in this fellowship, as we go home to be with family and friends. Let your blessing be upon us all. And we pray this all in your name. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.